This is Leon Sanchez. Welcome to the CCWG on Enhancing Icons Accountability Meeting number 94 on May the 31st, 2016. I feel like I already miss all the people in this group because it feels to me like we haven't spoke to each other in ages. So it's good to be back. And we have a compact agenda for today, and hopefully we'll be able to carry it out short. And, well, if you haven't filed your statement of interest by now, we definitely encourage you to do so. If you have any need for assistance on filing your statement of interest, feel free to approach anyone on staff, and they'll be happy to assist you filing your statement of interest. We have been following the discussion on these exercises that we are building here on trying to figure out how we're going to set up the budget for Workstream 2. And I think that it's important to state that nothing is set in stone at this time. And this call is precisely to listen and to gather the feedback from the CCWG so we can better shape this budget for our next steps. And also one thing that it's important to highlight is that no constraints are being set on the CCWG. We just want to, of course, provide the means to achieve a rational use of the resources that we have in hand to carry out our work. So I'll let, of course, my coaches speak deeper into the subject later on the call. And with this, I think I'll handle the call to Thomas so we can move forward on the agenda. Thomas?
Thanks very much, Leon, and hello, everyone. This is Thomas Rickert speaking. And this is sort of partially an opening remark, but it also helps us segue into the budget discussion. And we would like to start this discussion following up on what Leon has said by making reference to some of the thoughts that have been exchanged on the list. And I'm sure that we will disappoint those who think that dark evil forces are working against the CCWG. And if there are any dark forces, then those are us, co-chairs and rapporteurs, because actually we have been working on a way forward, a suggestion for a way forward that we want to discuss with you. And so if there's anything that you don't like about the proposal that's going to be presented to you by Bernie in a minute or two, then blame us. Don't blame staff or don't blame the board. Don't blame anyone who you think might be responsible. This is actually the works of some folks that are concerned about the future of the CCWG and that want to come up with a proposal that is sensitive to budget requirements. Obviously, we need to exercise some budget control. We need to make sure that we're accountable also in that regard. And at the same time, we want to make sure that we have working methods available that allow for the group to develop the proposals that are required for all the important issues that we have in front of us for work stream number two. Now, as Mathieu said, and I think Jordan has also mentioned this on the list, nothing is cast in stone. Right, and so we're going to present to you what our ideas were, and then we're going to discuss this, and if there is a need for changing what we have prepared, then certainly we can try to get the resources exceeding what we have suggested to get that done. Also, I would like to note that with respect to the proposal that there might be no transcript for the sub-team calls, we think, and let me just offer a bit of rationale for why we've suggested it the way you saw it on the slides, there is a difference between, let's say, a PDP working group and the work of the sub-teams. Let's stick to the example of, let's say, GNSO PDP working group. Such group where today, as far as I know, all the meetings are recorded and transcribed, comes up itself with recommendations, policy recommendations, and it itself conducts a consensus call on these recommendations on its first report and then on the final report, and these recommendations are then passed over to, in this case, the GNSO Council and then ultimately the board. So the PDP working group leads to consensus recommendations. PDP working groups do consensus calls themselves. This is not what we see in the sub-teams here. The sub-teams that we're setting up are there to work on suggestions that are being brought from time to time in front of the CCWG plenary. So all the pros and cons of the ideas that are developed and prepped in the sub-teams will be brought to the whole CCWG, and the CCWG calls will remain to be recorded and transcribed. So all the rationale for the recommendations will be recorded and transcribed. Not each and every part of the discussion, that is true, but there will be room for bringing out to the community all the concerns and all the support there might be for the suggestions made by the sub-teams. And then it will not be the sub-teams, but the whole CCWG that will work on consensus recommendations. So this is just to shed some light on why we suggested things as you saw them on the slide. That is not to discredit the work of workstream of the sub-team, but it is actually to be conscious of resources while making it possible for the sub-teams to work efficient in supporting the CCWG to come up with its consensus recommendations for all Workstream 2 items. I would now like to ask Bernie to show us through the slides, and we will open it up for discussion after Bernie has talked you through and guided you through the slides that you already saw on the list. Thanks so much, and over to you, Bernie.
Thank you, Thomas. I hope everyone can hear me.
Yes, you can do it.
Thank you. All right. Given Thomas has introduced the topic and said we'll take questions after, this will be a quick walkthrough since the slides have been out there for several days. Can we ask people to mute if they're not talking? Someone's typing away. ICANN requires budget estimates for fiscal year 17 by the end of May 2016 for the CCWG accountability and CWG stewardship, which should be approved by these groups. So really the idea is that is to develop something that is reasonable with the communities involved. The community at the SONAC level worked with the ICANN board to develop something called the PCST and the Project Costing Support Team. And the key word in there is support. Really, the idea is to have a team of people, which I'm leading, just give support so we can generate these numbers in an intelligent fashion. We've been working with the leadership in the CCWG to try to get that. And I think, as Thomas has said, there's really no evil plot here. The idea is just that when we did Workstream 1, really there was a thought that it might be a bit more compact than it was. And given the expenses, and no one's blaming anyone for any of the expenses, we did what needed to be done to get it done. And everyone's comfortable with that. But the idea is going forward, let's try and work together to see what we can identify as reasonable to get our work done. So that'll be my introduction. Given legal costs for workstream 2 cannot be estimated at this point, they do not need to be included in estimates. Really, I think the idea there is that we have to get into the various workstream 2 topics to start to understand that. And, you know, there's obviously no point to do that. I think the co-chairs have said they expect that there be some amount there available so that they're not running to the board every week with an estimate for something. But that will be worked out. Budget for legal costs will have to be approved by the ACAN board when it comes to possible to properly estimate these. So when there are huge chunks of work for a specific workstream 2 topic, I'm talking about legal expenses still, this should be developed properly and then submitted for approval to the board. And similarly for other costs. So let's move on to the next slide. We now have 9 Workstream 2 topics. For those who were paying attention, our original proposal had 7, and the lawyers, when they were drafting the bylaws from our report, noted that there were 2 areas that we said in our report, the CCWG, that there would be additional activities in Workstream 2, and those are guidelines for standards of conduct presumed to be in good faith associated with exercising the removal of individual ICANN board directors and the review of the CEP, which is the engagement process which we include. And, of course, we can't forget in here IRP Phase 2, which Becky is still leading. And I was very clear in the previous slide that Workstream 2 legal cost estimates have not been made, but they have been completed for IRP Phase 2. Moving right along. Core assumptions for fiscal year 17, budget estimates for CCWG accountability. There are a total of 9 Workstream 2 projects, plus IRP Phase 2. The expectation is that the work of the CCWG accountability could be completed by the end of June 2017. So basically, that's the fiscal year. We would try to wrap up all these projects by the end of June 2017. So basically, 13 months from now. The CCWG accountability would hold a one-day face-to-face meeting prior to each ICANN meeting. The leadership has been very clear that given our work and how we proceed, that this would be required for our work to continue. There's already a subgroup defined for IRP Phase 2, which expects to complete its work by March 2017 latest. And that may be accelerated depending on circumstances. Continuing on the assumptions, given the subgroup approach was validated for IRP Phase 2 and that this was discussed with the CCWG accountability in Marrakesh, it would be reasonable to expect that the remaining 9 Workstream 2 projects would be approached in a similar fashion. Concerning, it would be difficult to consider significantly advancing all the projects only in plenaries. And I think, you know, that's just a sensible way of approaching it. There is no expectation that the 9 Workstream 2 projects and IRP Phase 2 will publish their results in any kind of synchronized fashion. So we're not linking them. They don't have to be all started in the same place. They don't have to publish for public comment at the same time. They're not synchronized. However, it doesn't prevent any number of them from being synchronized if that makes sense for a timing, because we have to understand that if we're going to go for public consultation to the community out there, if we're bombarding them with a number of public consultations at the same time for different subjects and they're completely separate public consultations, they may actually make the task of the community harder. So if it can work out, we're not excluding the fact that such things could be joined. continuing on, if the subgroup approach is confirmed, it's expected that the CCWG accountability would only meet in plenary every 2 weeks until February 2017, when it may need to increase its frequency to weekly. So the general idea is that if we do have subgroups working on specific sub-issues as the topics of Workstream 2, and that the rapporteurs from those topics will be presenting progress and issues at the plenary, it doesn't necessarily make sense to have plenary meetings every week, because we have to allow the subgroups where the work is actually being done to advance somewhat. Now, the thing that has generated some discussion on the list, which I'm sure we'll be talking about in a few minutes, support for subgroups who would be similar to Workstream 1 with the following exceptions: dedicated email lists for each subgroup, observers are read-only, for plenary meetings, virtual meeting room with recording and transcription, for subgroup meetings, virtual meeting room with recording only, use of ICANN services including Adobe Connect with TGI Global Meet for teleconferencing and ICANN language services for transcription, no note-taking by staff beyond action items, and subgroup members will be expected to draft their own documents. Staff will not produce documents for subgroups unless requested, approved, and available. And I'm sure we'll be coming back to those points. Your current staffing, as foreseen, is Karen Mulberry, management and Brenda Brewer, full-time CCWG support. Everyone knows and loves Brenda. Grace Abulamad, who is part-time doing some ICANN coordination and other activities for us. Hillary Jett, part-time communication support. And myself, full-time CCWG support and PCST. Additional CCWG support staff could be required as subgroups prepare to launch public consultations and publish finalized recommendations. CCWG accountability meeting would continue the same support as currently available on a bi-weekly schedule unless otherwise required. So basically everything that we have in our plenary meetings right now continues exactly as is. The assumptions for trying to figure out how we're going to use resources from the subgroups is that the subgroups would meet on a weekly basis to try and advance the various topics. Considerations based on these assumptions. Public consultation and final reports would be translated as per Workstream 1 recommendations. So there would be translation. One-day face-to-face meeting prior to November, March, and June ICANN meetings. The funding rules are clarified here. Basically, OAC-appointed members already supported to attend the meeting will receive an extra day of support, one extra hotel night. The three co-chairs will receive support as follows. For A and C meetings, the co-chairs will receive support to attend the full ICANN meeting, since they may be expected to participate in engagement efforts around Workstream 2 proposal. For the B meeting, the co-chairs will receive support to attend the face-to-face meeting only. Rapporteurs will receive support per the rules for SOAC-appointed members. If already supported to attend, they will receive support for the extra hotel. Remote participation services will be available for those who are not able to attend in person. Next slide. Other considerations. Specialized legal contractors. We anticipate there will be a need for legal expertise. Not all Workstream 2 items will require the same level of legal support, but required legal support could be intensive for items such as human rights, framework of interpretation, or collaborative engagement review. Our suggestion would be to budget an amount based on a reasonable estimate of low-intensity engagement with lawyers in order to avoid congestion. That would delay the work, but clarify beyond these level specific requests with the board. The board financing needs to be specific. Specialized non-legal contractors, graphic support, an amount should be made available for graphic support, since that seemed to have worked well for us in WorkStream 1. Other considerations, there is the question of advisors. WorkStream 1 advisors were appointed to support the work of the CCWG accountability and not selected by the group. Per the CCWG accountability charter, the group does not control the advisors and therefore cannot have the support for the advisors as part of the work group budget associated with the CCWG accountability. The CCWG does not require advisors for WorkStream 2. However, since they were not appointed by the CCWG, ICANN, or the PEG, the group that appointed the advisors initially, would need to officially release the advisors should the CCWG accountability agree. So basically, implicit in here is a question for our group today. Do we need the advisors, or do you agree that we should ask that they be released? Current advisors are welcome to continue to participate in the work of the CCWG as individual participants. So that takes us to the end of this presentation. Sorry to drone on, but I wanted to go through it if there was any of the participants that did not have time to go through the slides. And I'll turn it back over to Thomas for questions and comments.
Thank you very much, Bernie, for talking us through the slide deck. And I would suggest that we structure our discussion a little bit. I'm sure that many of you want to speak to the resources available for us, i.e. the services to support the work of the sub-teams. So I would suggest that we discuss that first. I would suggest that we discuss the question of how to use the advisors in the months to come separately. So let's first talk about the resources that and the working methods discussed for the QCWG, and then discuss the question of advisors. Just before James might raise his hand to ask about what items are going to work on to be worked on, I think it would be premature to discuss that today. We're going to hear the lightning talks in Helsinki, and hopefully we will learn in Helsinki what items the community wants to spend its resources on. I think it's quite unlikely, and this is a view shared by the co-chairs and rapporteurs, it's quite unlikely that we will have the bandwidth to work on all items in parallel, but let's do the choosing of the items that go first when we are together in Helsinki, because that hugely depends on the volunteers' wishes, because basically we need the community's resources in order to get the work done. But now let's move to Tijani. Tijani.
Thomas, do you hear me?
Very faintly, Tijani.
Okay. So I have two questions. I have one question and another one. The first question is what is the rationale behind the deadline of June 17th? Is it only because it is the end of the fiscal year? Or is there any other objective or operational reason? Second, I don't understand. No, I don't understand. I would like to say that the subgroups, the work of subgroups, is different from the work of the working part that we use at the beginning of our work.
Tijani, in the first half of your interventions, you could hardly be heard, but now you're breaking up on me. I'm not sure whether others can hear you. Can you please repeat the second question, please?
I'd like to say that the subgroups, the work of the subgroups, is different from the work that the working party did. In that sense that all the work will be done in those subgroups, and the result will be discussed in the CCWG calls. I think that the work of those subgroups is very important, especially because the items to be discussed are sometimes controversial and need a lot of precision and a lot of work to be done. So I don't think that we have diminished the means that we use for the CCWG for those working groups, for those subgroups. I think that the Adobe Connect with transcription I think that the help of the staff for drafting is something important to achieve the work of the sub-team or the subgroups. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tijani. I have to confess I had a hard time hearing part of your intervention, so please confirm whether my summary is correct. The first question related to the June deadline of financial year 2017 and why that is, I guess the answer is simple, that ICANN's fiscal year is covering that period. And then Tijani made a point that the work of the sub-teams is different than the work of the other work parties. It's important to have transcripts and the help of staff to do the drafting. So thank you for that. I hope that adequately or accurately reflected the main argument. Let's hear some more views, should there be any. Sebastian, and then
Olga. Yes, thank you, Tamar. Can you hear me well?
Yes, but today people seem to be a little faint. You are also not as loud as on other occasions, but please go ahead.
Okay, I will try to be louder. I have 2 points. The first one is about support for travel and participation to the meeting. I am questioning the proposal to have the co-chair treated differently for the A and C meeting and the B meeting. And I really think that it must be revised, because the B meeting is a meeting where the organization will do a lot of work internally in each SONAC, but also collectively with all the SOIC in one group. And I think that the work stream 2 will be one of the topic of any B meetings, and will need the co-chair to be participating. And I really suggest that this must be changed. If somebody wants to discuss with me why I think that, as I was the chair of the working group who came with the A, B, and C meeting, I will be very happy to do so. And my second point is about the advisor. I really think we, at least some of them, I am not saying all of them, and I know that it's not our turf to decide, but I would like very much to suggest, because it is written somewhere, should the CCWG accountability agree, I think we need to have still advisors, and if the only way to retain them to participate is to do the same thing that for Workstream 1, let's do it. I think that, for example, for diversity, one of those advisors will be very useful in the discussion, then I think we need to keep them on board. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. I'm not going to try to respond to the points that are being made now, but let's just collect the views and then try to work on responses or improvements to the proposal on the table. Olga, floor is yours.
Thank you, Thomas. Can you hear me?
Yes, you can be heard all right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to concur with Robin's comment in the chat. I think that not having travel support is not a plus, it's a minus, and it's not good for some participants in the cross-community accountability working group. Other comment is about balance and diversity. In the whole group, we had representatives from different stakeholders and different SOs and SEs in from ICANN. How are we going to deal with this diversity of views and regions in these 9 subgroups? Because it is my understanding that they will go in parallel. So I see some difficulties in having this diversity from stakeholders and regions in these subgroups. And it was not clear to me in Bernie's presentation when are we going to a plenary and discuss what every subgroup is doing in its own meetings. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Olga. Tavuz?
Why we need 9 groups? Why not 20? And why not 30? One single subject, one group. Why we need 9 groups? Where these 9 come from? Why not you could make it in 4 and 5? Make it more easy for the people to participate, in particular when they are in parallel. And the second, the people talking of the cost, millions of dollars have been spent for this accountability, and 200 people from ICANN traveling all around the world, but now once it comes to the CCWG people, they say the cost. So I don't think that there is sufficient argument for that. And I don't think that we have to make discrimination among the people. Co-chair will be supported, others will not be supported. It depends on the people. Co-chairs sometimes coming from the very developed country, a lot of money, and rich people. Why they have to support? I'm very sorry. There are people that don't have the sufficient financial support. You deprive them from participation unless they should go to the ICANN and beg for the traveling of the something. So why is this situation? There are always a criteria around the world. You provide support for those people who need support. Some people they don't need support at all. I don't want to name the people. They are coming from the rich companies or rich institutions. They have billions of dollars and so on and so forth. They can travel easily. What is this process? To have so many little groups to deprive the people to participate when they are in parallel, to deprive them to participate because they don't have financial support, they don't come, that is that. And apart all of that, how many physical meetings they have, and what is the cost to support them or not support them? Has there been any analysis for that? Thank you.
Thanks, Kavuz. Pedro, and then Jordan, and then let's take a little break in order to go through the points and try to answer them. Pedro?
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you can be heard.
Okay. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I just wanted to make a point on the advisors. I'm in favor of keeping them, especially when taking a look at the at our web page, and we see when I look at the areas of expertise of our advisors, some of those areas are actually will be more useful in Workstream 2 as they were in Workstream 1. So, for example, if I take Lee Bygriff as an example, which is an expert in international law or jurisprudence, this will be clearly an expertise that will be important in the work of the jurisdiction working group. So I think maybe we could probably evaluate which areas of expertise are more, let's say, needed for Workstream 2, but definitely I think those advisors are necessary in our work going forward. And finally, I would like to support Jenny and also what Jorge has conveyed in the list. I think the importance of using our staff not only for transcripts but also before actually drafting of documents, which will, I think, give the level of impartiality that we need for the work of the CCWG.
Thanks so much, Pedro. Jordan?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you can be heard.
Great, thanks. Hi, everyone. It's lovely hearing your voices again. It's been far too long, or something. Just a point about this working method. We signed up to 9 groups of topics together in the room in Marrakesh in March, and I don't mind a lightweight, small group for each of those topics taking responsibility. To me, it's more the topics are divided rather than groups. I think there'll be quite of overlap, a lot of overlap in the groups of people working on each of the topics. But the key to making that working model and that resourcing model work for all of us has to be that the groups don't present the CCWG as a whole with any kind of fait accompli. In other words, they can't do lots of work developing a proposal and then write on a deadline, give it to the CCWG and say, you have to agree with us now, we've run out of time, there's no time to make changes and so on. It has to be quite the opposite, actually. These small groups need to regularly engage the whole CCWG in plenary discussion, and all of us at that point need to add the diversity of our perspectives and views. The alternative is really running a large number of discrete CCWGs with lots of people on them, and so I actually favor the smaller, more restrained design team type approach to get thinking together and then to test it with this group. But I, like others, will be a strong guardian against stuff being pushed through these small groups and then imposed on the CCWG. That model can't work. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jordan. As indicated earlier, I would now like to offer a few comments or remarks on the points that have been made, just so that it doesn't become overwhelming. But Robin and Caboose, you will surely be heard. I would just beg you to be patient for a few seconds. Now, we heard a couple of interventions that were around the topic of transcripts and document drafting. I would suggest that we take that back. We will likely liaise with chartering organizations to see whether they support us in asking for more resources, and then we will talk to ICANN and try to work on that and get back to the group with a response on that. The same would apply with respect to the points that have been made by some when it comes to travel support. I think that we need to come up with some suggestions, though, on how we maybe streamline this process a little bit so that we are more cost-efficient than during the first phase of our work. So I would really like to hear from the group that basically has rejected a couple of suggestions that we made in order to save costs on how you as a group would think we can help reduce the overall financial burden for the community, because ultimately the money that we spend is the community's money. With respect to the advisors, let's think about that a little bit more. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to get back to that point at the end of this this agenda item. We don't need to make a decision on that today, but this is just to get the thought process going. As Jordan mentioned, the 9 sub-teams were the result of our discussions in Marrakesh. But as Robin mentioned in the chat, some of these points are related to each other. So if the group thinks that we should maybe group some of the items and put them into one sub-team or split another item. It's not cast in concrete. We can still do that, but the number of sub-teams and the selection of topics is actually something that this group has previously decided. So I hope that I have at least captured the main points, and let's now hear from Robin and then from Caboose.
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. I just wanted to weigh in on a couple of the issues that had been raised before your intervention, and I'll be brief. I don't want to repeat a lot of the arguments that others have made, but just sort of to let you come down on the issues. I think we need to make sure that we've got full transcripts for all of our discussions. I think that's such an important part of transparency, is such an important part of the work that we're doing, and the way that it helps with accessibility of the information and enabling us to communicate and have more people participate. It just adds so much value that I think that, you know, we need to look at the costs of those transcripts with all that enormous value that it adds. I also think that we should invite the advisors to join as participants with others, the way others have. I know there was a question about how can we help to cut costs. I think this would be one good example of one way we could cut some costs. Again, these people have made valuable contributions and could be invited to participate as participants. I think we need to make sure that we've got the members of the CCWG supported to travel to the meetings. I know a number of us are not able to go to Helsinki because ICANN decided not to cover our travel, and I think that will be the same for the subsequent meetings as well, particularly those of us from civil society and the non-commercial community who don't have businesses that can support our participation. And we talked about having several of the nine issues being pushed together into subtopics or into different topics together. I think that's worth exploring, but I want to caution also on that because some of the issues, for example, the transparency issue, already was a collection of four or five sub-issues that we said we needed to incorporate with respect to transparency changes at ICANN. So I want to just, you know, I hope that our search for a simple solution when we've got nine issues doesn't make the quality of those decisions suffer. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Robin, and thanks for reminding us that actually the transparency issue is already a grouping of subtopics. And I think that our group has already wisely chosen the nine topics. So if you ask for my personal view, I think the nine subteams cover quite nicely what we have on our plate. But I mentioned that this can be reopened because it's actually not a decision that we're making and that needs to stand. But if the group thinks that it can work more efficiently by regrouping the topics, then by all means, let's go for it. Let's try to make this as easy for the community to deliver on. But thanks for that, Robin. And next is Caboose and then Alan.
Heard and read a lot of things. If the majority of the people are in favor of the transcripts, we should do it. This is number one. Number two, with respect to the nine little group, there is a risk that if it continues, there are two options. Either the people cannot participate and bring it to the plenary, and if it's raised, so the chair in the plenary should not say that, sorry, this has been discussed in little group and we have no time, and take it back. So I think still it is a possibility to regroup them. Some of them really merit to be a single group, like human rights or large jurisdiction. Some others could be combined, or you mentioned the group. Why not we try to see whether we could reduce amount of number of the group to some optimal P5 or 6 and so on and so forth, make it possible for the people to participate. And thirdly, you did not reply to my question, how many more meetings apart from Helsinki you have face-to-face? If there is one, perhaps they could arrange that to have some financial support from our people. And if it is more than that, it is very difficult. We cannot participate. And it is not good that you do not allow the people to benefit from the discussions and to work with the other people. So can you please tell me how many more physical meetings we would have between now and end of the year, apart from the Helsinki? Helsinki, we have already managed that through the situation, and we have already support. I have not asked for I can support. It is my personal support, no, so on and so forth. But please, can we regroup them five or six? Transcription, majority in favor. Go ahead with that one, and kindly reconsider the issue of traveling if it is more than Helsinki. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kavus. And before we move to Alan, who is actually going to be the last speaker on this topic, let me briefly recap that it looks like the issue of transcripts is of highest concern. So we will take a look at that. Looking at James's comment in the chat, there is flexibility of cost depending on the turnaround time for those who work on the transcripts. So we will definitely take a look at that in order to make transcripts possible at a low-cost basis. Kavus asking for regrouping the topics is, as I mentioned, is a possibility. At the same time, the topics as we see them in the slide deck are the result of discussion by the CCWG. So if the CCWG wants that to change, I would suggest that you come up with concrete proposals for regrouping, and then let's test whether there's sufficient traction for making that change. And with respect to your last point on how many face-to-face meetings there will be, I would like to ask you for a little bit more patience, because that's a point that Mathieu is going to address in the next agenda item, and I will try not to be repetitive at that point, but we will get back to that in a moment. Alan.
Thank you very much. I'll be brief. I'm presuming at least some of the decisions that you're showing that Bernie talked about were made based on at least rough approximations of what things cost. If they were made without that, then I'm not quite sure how they were made. If they were made with that, can you please present them? There are those of us in this group who do have budgeting experience, and we can compare things and make value judgments. It shouldn't be passed down to us as the decisions based on the numbers, but we can't show them to you. So it would be really helpful to the extent we have numbers. Let's see them. One of the examples we've talked about before is bringing members who are not otherwise funded to ICANN meetings. It may well be a completely rational thing based on what the cost would be for the number of people we're talking about. But it would be nice to know what that number is so we can agree it's a rational thing to do or say, no, that's being foolish. Lastly, in terms of the co-chairs and B meetings, flying people halfway around the world for a one-day meeting and then sending them home unless they're willing to take their own cash and pay for a hotel for another 3 days or 4 days is inhuman. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alan. And thanks for the support for the B meeting. Actually, you're the second person speaking in favor of helping out for the co-chairs. That's much appreciated. Alan, to give you a straight answer to your question on the figures, it's not like ICANN has given us a promise to give us a certain amount of money and the leadership team has sliced the cake and made allocations. It's the other way around. We're actually working on the basis of the good old CCWG approach, and that is, let's look at the requirements. So we are in the process of specifying our group's requirements for this next phase, and then we will try to get all the funds required for that allocated. So actually there is no fixed amount that has been promised to this group. But I can also say that at some point when we when we have refined this a little bit further, we are more than happy to share cost estimates with the group, but there is no such cost estimate at the moment that we could present.
Thomas, may I have a very brief follow-on?
Sure.
Yeah, I wasn't presuming there's an overall envelope number, just that as you go along these lists, you know, we are really talking about trade-offs. If we spend more money there, then we're going to have to try to be more frugal somewhere else. Having an idea of what the ballpark numbers are, which someone's going to have to eventually translate them into to find out what this is costing, it makes it a lot easier to make those decisions. Thank you.
That's understood. And as I mentioned, we will bring numbers in front of the group, but at the moment we don't have such overview prepared that we could share. But I understand that there's a need for it. It's just too early in the process for us to be able to do that. So we have a little bit more than 5 minutes left for this agenda item, and some of you have already commented on the role of the advisors, yet I had suggested that we discuss this separately at the end of this agenda item, and I would like to give the opportunity to those that have patiently waited to chime in now. So if you want to speak to the question of whether or not we should keep the advisors, or actually it's not our role to dismiss them, but if there are any views on whether or not we should use their services, and if so, in what shape or form, please do put yourself in the queue. And the first hand is raised. Aubrey, please.
Yeah, thank you. This is Aubrey speaking. I wanted to get my hand up right away because last time I didn't manage to get it in before you cut off the queue. I think since we're already talking about not providing travel support for people, keeping these advisors becomes a no-cost item. So when we're thinking about it, we're not thinking about it in terms of budget. We're thinking about it in terms of what role they provide. Some of them have provided incredibly good comments to us along the period, and because they were outsiders in a large sense, and not those of us, both members and participants, who in some sense have interests, their voice was especially valuable. And so I personally see no harm, and I see advantage in terms of the outreach into the larger community that they give us, especially if we're not flying anybody anymore for anything. So, you know, that's where I start to think about penny wise, pound foolish. We'll no longer have, you know, the degree of legal expenses, you know, but some things are tools, and some people do provide a special value that is part of our charter, you know, we really have to look at it carefully and not get rid of something that is valuable and would cost us close to nothing, if nothing. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Avi. Very good point indeed. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. Along the same gist, our advisors were not paid, as far as I know. Therefore, we're only talking about travel costs. I think it's quite reasonable to say there are no default travel costs for advisors at this go-round. It becomes a very awkward discussion to have in public because some of our advisors provided far more value to the zero we paid them or for the travel expenses than others did. So, you know, can I imagine that some particular advisor at some particularly important point may be warranted to bring them to a meeting? Yes. But as a matter of course, I would suggest not. Thank you. But I see no reason to fire them at the zero price we're paying them. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. And just to be clear, we would not fire them anyway because we have not appointed them, so it would not be our role to do that. And at the same time, we would certainly not fire them, but release them of this duty. if it were in our mandate, which it isn't. So there are no further hands raised. And thank you all for your excellent points. We will now take this back, work on an improved proposal, hopefully improved to your liking, and then get back to the group. So please do understand this as a as an iterative process. So we're going to work on the next version of this and then share this with you. So with this, I would like to end this agenda point and hand it over to Mathieu.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Maybe before we before we close, and this is Mathieu Vey speaking, by the way, a question raised by James in the chat was whether we had only 24 hours to finalize this. I think we'll obviously try and negotiate a little bit of time to finalize and come back to you, because obviously there's some updates to be provided. And I think we really need to have clarity on the needs and the potential trade-offs later. So I don't think it's the last time we discuss this item in this group. So next agenda item is getting even one step further into the preparations for the Helsinki meeting, which is really designed to be our workstream to kickoff meeting. So if I can have the slides on the screen, Brenda, that would be helpful. The goal here is to start this discussion about how we structure the meeting, but also Workstream 2, so that we can focus most of our face time in Helsinki on substance issues and discussions rather than spend a full day discussing process. And so we're trying to advance the conversation as much as possible before that. So I see the slides now. Can we get to the next slide? So this is the list of topics. I'm not going back to this. We've seen that before. Obviously, everything I will say is irrespective of the structure, but that was our assumption in Marrakesh to use the 9 topics. And you will note that diversity would deserve its own bullet on the list here. And it's just a typo that will be corrected, obviously. So next slide. So the first item is the principle of who's doing what.
Yes.
So we'll... Someone has unmuted, maybe mute while not speaking. Okay, so who's doing what? The concept is that we have design team of subgroups that will do the heavy lifting. We've discussed this already. The plenary, as Thomas was saying, still remains the point of discussion and can raise new issues. There's no decision that is made in the subgroups without the CCWG having full rights to reopen the issues, reviewing the proposals, assessing the consensus is only at the CCWG level. And, of course, the CCWG will liaise with the chartering orgs, the board, and the organizations that we are accountable to. And in terms of co-chairs, we see our role, and I'm going to open the discussion on that, obviously, as monitoring that each group is balanced and has the appropriate resources, that the group of design team or subgroup leaders also is balanced and diverse. And there's a bullet missing here as well, that requests for extra support are handled efficiently but also responsibly. And the example, obviously, is the legal advice request that we would still need to have a focal point of approval and review so that we can monitor progress and budget considerations. Okay. Okay, I'm seeing some discussion in the chat. I'd just like to make sure that on this particular architecture, we're on the same line before moving next. Okay. And as Jordan is saying, as was our policy so far, there will be no unbalanced subgroup leader. And I can confirm that in our policy for the working bodies. So the next slide, please. This slide was already covered mostly on the support and the frequency of meetings, so I'll move straight to the next slide. What do we have to do before Helsinki? We would like to discuss, and that's going to be the topic of this presentation, a rough project plan, basically, to make sure we all share a view about when we will meet and the kind of expectations in terms of delay. And obviously, that's just a plan, and we'll have to adjust the type of documentation we need. And we will also issue shortly after this call a survey to start identifying participants wishing to contribute, and I'm stressing the words, actively contribute to the various topics so that we get an idea of where there's a lot of interest and actually bandwidth, and where there may be a need for reinforcing because there's a lower level of volunteers. So that's something we're planning to do before Helsinki so that we can adjust if need be in Helsinki as well. So that's next slide, please. So in terms of documentation, the idea is that staff will produce a paper per topic, recapping the sections of the supplemental report, the prep material that we might have produced during the course of Workstream 1, like legal memos or interim documents from working parties, so that each group has the basic documentation ready before starting. I think that's pretty basic. The next slide. And we're coming to basically the rough idea of how Workstream 2 could take place if everything went well. The idea is to use Helsinki to form the groups, launch discussions. There would be our goal would be to try and issue public comments for as many topics as possible in time for discussions in Hyderabad in November, where we would meet as well and engage with the various communities. Refining proposals, hopefully in time for another public comment round in Copenhagen, in time for Copenhagen in March, so that we might finalize the proposals in time for approval in June in the Johannesburg meeting. So that's a rough best case scenario for a topic that would be able to move efficiently forward. And to answer Kavu's question previously, in terms of face-to-face, that implies that we would only meet face-to-face at each of the ICANN meetings, basically on the day before it starts. I'm not familiar yet with the new meeting structure, I'm not making any assumptions of the day of the week that meets, but just before the official meeting starts, we would try and arrange this meeting day, and we've discussed about travel support previously, but that's part of the budget request. So that's a tentative timeline we're discussing, and maybe I should pause here and assess whether there's any questions, comments, feedbacks on that. I see a question from Jorge about ad hoc meetings during ICANN meetings. I think that's an excellent idea. We would certainly would need to anticipate a lot because of the need for, I mean, I know meeting rooms are scarce during ICANN meetings, and staff support is also, staff is already highly booked, so there might be challenges here, but that's an excellent idea, and I think that applies as well to the IRP group, maybe as soon as Helsinki. I'm having trouble following the chat accurately, so if you want to raise a point on the timeline, please do so. And Julie, your hand is up. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Julie Hammer, ESSAC. Just wanting to ask whether each of the nine groups is being planned to be kicked off concurrently. The reason I'm asking is because for smaller groups like ESSAC, where we don't have a large number of people even within our overall group, if everything is done concurrently, it might be a little bit for us to keep track of everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. That's a question for our group, and it's probably one of the key outcomes of the discussions in Helsinki is what's ready to start, what's not, because of the bandwidth issue that we will have in the group and that the community will have in terms of the ability to submit comments, assess proposals on each of the topics. So, yes, we can safely assume that it's going to be a challenge moving forward. But there's nothing is cast in stone on this at this point. Alan?
Thank you. Just a quick heads up. One of the activities, one of the things that ALAC will be discussing in Helsinki is how to get more people involved in some of these subgroups, people who may have a specific interest in that subgroup but is not actively following the CCWG otherwise. So it's fine to try to put together groups at Helsinki or in that time frame, but we are hoping that we'll find other people who we can lure in to do some of the hard lifting on particular topics. Thank you.
Your ALAC has apparently arguments that are very interesting. If you can lure people into our group, you are powerful indeed. The force is strong with ALAC. But that's right. There's no intent to close the group composition at any point in time. We need to keep the groups open anyway. But it's just to assess the strengths and the type of dynamics from our volunteer community ahead of Helsinki. And I mean, fasten things up. Okay, the next slide then. Also, in order to streamline the whole process, basically, we think it would be useful to use the same type of deliverable for every topic or group of topics. And I mean, we haven't been looking very far. We've looked at the structure of the annex of our supplemental report. And basically, what would be expected on each topic is an executive summary, a description of the issue with the current state of play, what was in the supplemental report, the recommendations with the rationale for each topic, and a reminder that in the new bylaws, we still need to provide documentation that we are meeting what was previously called the NTIA criteria, but are now the new bylaw criteria in section 27.2. And so supporting the multi-stakeholder model and so on and so forth. And that's part of the documentation that we need to provide as per our charter. So it's basically using the same framework, just like the ICG called for recommendations with a certain structure in the document for each of the operational communities. We would use this standard to make sure we get similar type of information in each of the recommendations we're providing. Any questions on that? I'm not seeing any, so moving to the next slide. So what would Helsinki look like? Our proposal would be to to use as much time as possible in Helsinki for what we've mentioned is lightning talks, so very short talks by one of us in 5 minutes, a little bit of questions and answers, highlighting in an issue. It can be highlighting how to address an issue. It can be highlighting a particular vision of the recommendations. And the idea is to stimulate debates and ideas and make sure we have we share at the group level what the various topics are going to be discussing. So we are aware of it, and we realize the amount of work that we have in front of us and have a first round of question and answers on it. Basically, that's a little bit of format we've used in the first day of our first face-to-face meeting in Frankfurt, where, if you remember, we had a few of us take the stage and explain how they were viewing the future governance of ICANN, and this was extremely helpful in helping us coalesce around some key principles that we used all around our work as the four pillars of ICANN accountability and so on. So that's the reason why we are trying to go that in that direction for the meeting. With another outcome that would be to attempt to form the design teams, or at least the design teams on the topics that seem ready to move on, selecting rapporteurs and trying to obviously plan a little bit the next steps. One important aspect also being that we're going to have discussions with our various communities in Helsinki and beyond. So that's also an area of coordination for the group. Regarding the potential agenda, I'd like to pause for a second to see if there's any comments. And Caruso, the word design team, I think, was used by the CWG, so that's why I'm using it, but it's you can use subgroup, you can use whatever other term you want. Let's not get stuck on the word design. We can certainly adjust that. There will be, Paul is raising the question about people not attending Helsinki to how they can access these lightning talks easily, and maybe even actually participate remotely. I think we're going to have remote participation in Helsinki. Unless I'm contradicted by staff, I think that's the plan. So that's going to be possible, obviously, full transcripts and so on. And any supporting documentation will be shared on the list as well. And the idea for us would be to invite each of you to consider whether you want to provide one of these talks and make yourself known on the full list that you want to speak about each or a particular topic. I think Niels already did that on the human rights. From now on, if we agree on this structure for the Helsinki meeting, everyone is invited to apply for a slot in these sections. Steve, the idea is that I think we anticipate to be more plenary on Sunday because of the different talks, but and I don't know if we have a lot of flexibility about subgroups. I think we have some, so if there's any need, we could split a little bit for a certain section of time. But this has the drawback of remote participation, as you're rightly mentioning. So that's why, so far, it's a full plenary all day, but with lightning and maybe sometimes entertaining talks to make sure we make the best out of the full day. Okay, I'm seeing no question now, so maybe move to the next slide. Okay, that's something I've discussed already. So let's move to the one after that, which is an idea of the structure of the meeting, nothing really new. And I think that closes this section on preparation for Helsinki. Any other thoughts on preparing Helsinki, Tijani?
Thank you very much, Mathieu, Tijani speaking. I hope you hear me well now.
Very well.
Thank you very much. A question, not exactly about your presentation, but I have seen that the subgroups will be in charge of the public comments. My understanding is that the subgroups will prepare the work for the CCWG, and the CCWG should make the public comment. So, any explanation?
Your view is correct. That's subgroups prepare the work, it's discussed in the CCWG, it's a CCWG public comment, analysis of the comments is made obviously by the subgroups, but it's the CCWG's decision in the end to how to reconsider or adjust the recommendations.
So you have to perhaps correct the duty or the tasks of each of the subgroups and of the CCWG, because it is not written like this. Thank you.
Okay, mistake on our side, and we'll correct. Thank you. Okay, if there's no other point on this issue, obviously, comments on the list can we still have a little bit of time, but I think it's good to anticipate on this, and we'll make sure we make the best out of Helsinki, and ideas are welcome, but please apply for the talks, and make sure you fill the survey that we'll issue shortly after this call. Before closing this issue, Jordan.
Thanks, Matthew. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well, John.
Great, thanks. Just to make sure, to a kind of plea as someone who won't be present in Helsinki, to make sure that there aren't any breaking off into individual groups or anything, and that all of the lightning talks are done in plenary, so that those of us who are remote participants can watch them, listen to them, participate in them, and if necessary, present them through that means as well.
Thanks, Jordan. It's noted. Holly, please.
Hi. I just wanted to respond. I know that Robin had raised a question about where one of the items that was attributed to the lawyers came from on the list of items to be discussed in work stream 2. And it comes directly, is quoted directly out of paragraph 54 of Annex 4 of the CCWG's own proposal. And for some reason, it hadn't made it into the list of things that would be in the transition bylaw, and that is what we as lawyers corrected. But it's clearly in the proposal, and it specifically says, guidelines for standards of conduct that will be presumed to be in good faith, for example, conducting reasonable due diligence as to the truthfulness of a statement, will be developed in work stream 2. And to, if you'll recall, Annex 4 is about the ensuring community involvement in ICANN decision-making, 7 new community powers, and paragraph 54 is when will indemnification be available associated with the removal of individual ICANN board directors.
Thank you for this clarification, Holly. Indeed, that was a good catch from you in terms of consistency across our report, and I'm actually looking forward to working on this issue. Which promises to be a very useful one, I think, in the long run for ICANN to document. Steve, you're next.
Thank you, Matthew. It's Steve Del Bianco, for the record. I put this into the chat, and it's not for discussion at this point, but as a plea for the CCWG members coming to Helsinki, if you could, please review the document that circulated on 26 May regarding Workstream 2 and ATRT 3. In that document, we lay out considerations for how to synchronize Workstream 2, and ATRT 3, because 6 of our 9 Workstream 2 topics deal with accountability that could fit well into an ATRT scope. And I make the case, speaking for myself personally, that we ought to defer ATRT 3 so that Workstream 2 can take care of those 6 accountability items. I make that case based on the fact that in the bylaws we are about to adopt, Workstream 2 has stronger powers of persuasion than ATRT would in terms of getting something difficult past ICANN's board and management. And if you just review that document, it's only a few pages long, we'll be prepared to maybe have that discussion when we gather in Helsinki. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. That's a very good point. It's really an item we need to discuss in terms of how we synchronize before we engage our respective communities. So I'll make sure we put it on the agenda as a full regular item so that everyone can prepare for that. And thank you for the work you've put in with Karen, actually, on sync, providing an abstract and the considerations around that issue. Holly, I assume it's an old hand?
Yes, apologies.
No worries. Thank you, Holly. And with that, I'm now turning back to my fellow co-chair, Leon.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. This is Leon Sanchez again. And I think we have a topic for any other business at this point. And this is the public comment that is ongoing on the Articles of Incorporation, and that ends on July the 6th at 2359 UTC. So this, of course, is a topic that we feel that the CEW should be sending a comment on. And for these, we would like to put on the table to task our lawyers to review the articles of incorporation that have been published for public comment and prepare a comment so that we can discuss this in a plenary meeting of the CCWG before Helsinki. And why we think this should be taken care of before Helsinki is because, of course, in Helsinki we'll be very busy with other things in our hands, preparing for Workstream 2 and carrying out all the agenda that we have set out for Helsinki. So it would be best if we could close this before Helsinki. And I would like to see if there are any objections on tasking our lawyers to review the articles of incorporation that have been published and, of course, preparing a draft comment for us to review. And I see Holly's hand is up. Holly, you have the floor.
Yes. Given that the articles of incorporation that you have and that have been posted were essentially drafted by the Adler team and reviewed by Sidley, I think at this point we can tell you that they are consistent with your proposal. I don't know that we need to do any further review. We were the source of the draft.
All right, thanks.
You may have some questions. There are a couple things that we took out of the old bylaws because they are no longer required by law that relate to some tax issues. And if at some point you want to have a walkthrough so we can explain it, but it's really very, very simple. It's a very short document. It's very simple. And so Adler had suggested a couple of changes that don't relate to the DCWG proposal itself, but really relate to the state of California law and the fact that they were not needed.
Thank you very much, Holly. I have Jorge Canci on the queue, and then I'll go back to your comment, Holly.
Oh, and I just want to state we just saved you some significant lawyer's fees.
Thanks, Holly. Jorge, you have the floor. Jorge, we cannot see you. Might you be on mute?
Hello. Do you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Hello. Good evening. This is Jorge Canci for the record. On the articles of incorporation, I think I sent an email to the list, and I think it's it fits quite well with what Holly just explained. It would be very helpful for all of us, also for those who are not following this issue so closely, to have a short table where the articles of incorporation are explained with an identification of those parts of the CCWG report or the ICG report where the changes are based on. So I think, as Holly said, it's just a 3-page document. For many of us who are in this group, it may be a no-brainer, but for many other people from outside, it would certainly help to have the pointers and perhaps a short explanation of why every change is being proposed. Thank you.
Thanks, Jorge. I disconnected from the call a little bit, so I wasn't really able to get the sense of what you were saying. So if any of my colleagues would like to comment on what Jorge just said, I would just like to go back to what Holly was referring on her comment on reviewing the articles of incorporation. And I think that it would be useful for us to have our legal team to walk us through the articles of incorporation, as they have advised that there would be no need for further comments on their side, maybe just preparing a very brief document to walk us through these modifications on the articles of incorporation so that we can review it in the CCWG and prepare our comments if the case may be. Then I think that would be the way forward. And I guess that the comment on, I think that the comment from Jorge was to add some footnotes on where changes came from. Is that right? Okay, good. So I think that our lawyers could also help us with that while preparing the document to walk us through the articles of incorporation. Okay, so please, Holly and Rosemary, have this certified from the co-chairs to prepare this document for walking us through the changes in the articles of incorporation. And we'll be waiting for this document to come. Okay, so are there any other business that should be taken care of in this call? I assume that that's an all hands, Jorge? All right, so seeing no hands up and hearing no one else wanting to put on any other business on this call, we can have this call adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for attending, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. See ya.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.